Is there, well, I'm trying to think, is there anything valuable enough on the moon or on Mars or on any other planet we could conceivably get to make it worth our while?
Well, yes, there is, but it's in an indirect manner at first. And that is, we certainly wouldn't mine mineral resources and send them back to Earth. We wouldn't manufacture stuff and ship it to Earth. That would be prohibitive and ridiculous. But what we would do is we would use those resources to build systems that we need in space. And one example of that would be orbital power stations or manufacturing stations. And I can think of a very simple application we could use right away. One of the problems we have today is shielding satellites and spacecraft, for instance, humans in orbit. Most of our space stations that we put up, in fact, all of them, have been in very low orbit because that close to the Earth, they gain a great deal of shielding from the Earth's magnetic field. So the radiation hazards are greatly reduced.
Right.
If we were to make, let's say, lunar sandbags and ship them back to low Earth orbit, we could shield stations there, and people could stay in them for extended periods of time, regardless of radiation hazards.
Uh-huh.
And we could even move them to higher orbits and do research from much higher vantage points.
So it would be relatively very inexpensive to pick up virtual sandbags on the moon bring them back to even low, well, not low Earth orbit, perhaps.
Or moderate height, medium Earth orbit.
It would be so much cheaper doing it from the moon and back, not having to, escape Earth's gravity. That would make it financially feasible.
That alone would do it. And I'll tell you why. Right now we're spending in the thousands of dollars per pound for everything we put into space.
Sure, I know.
And by manufacturing it off the planet, we don't have that expenditure. We send up a starter factory that does the job, that's powered on sunlight, digs lunar materials, produces the goods, and ships them back to us. And now the cost becomes very reasonable. And it means that you can ship hardware into orbit, and you don't have to include a huge load of shielding. Now your payloads get lighter.
Well,
you shield them once you're up there.
Okay. All right, then. I was, of course, alive and aware as we touched down, put foot on the moon, and then as we, I don't know, stopped it all, except for low Earth orbit. We have just sworn the rest of it off. No moon. We haven't gone back. No Mars. We haven't really gone there. We don't have any concrete plans to go there. They've talked about it. Do you have any theory on why all of that happened? It's so illogical to go to the moon and then stop.
It certainly does seem that way. And, you know, I was one of the strongest proponents. I wanted to see us go on, build lunar colonies, build hotels in orbit, and just keep going from there. And I think that the biggest thing was, and I know there are a lot of people who dislike this thought, but the race to the moon was really a Cold War challenge. We wanted to get there first and to show that we were the better man, and it was a race, and it didn't have a practical payoff, and it is only because we had some people who were able to influence decisions to get some science done and to get some real research done on the way, that we were able to actually pull something useful and beneficial out of it. So even though we went in peace for all mankind, it was really a Cold War challenge.
Boy,
so once the money dried up and the challenge was met, that seemed to be the end of it.
So that's the only reason we went to the moon, because we had someone to race with. That was it.
At the time, that seems to be the largest reason behind the drive for the space program. Because
really
it was argued that we who control space, if you control the high ground, you control the world.
Well, the moon is sure the high ground.
That's pretty high, that's right.
Wouldn't there be strategic military reasons to be on the moon in force?
Yes, there would be some. Understand that you would have unlimited mineral resources and energy resources to deal with. So once established, you could build like mad and nobody could touch you. But if you really want a quick response for a military reason, your biggest bet would be to put those defense stations in lower medium height orbit, because you can respond in minutes or hours, whereas something from the moon is going to take, if it's on a ballistic trajectory, 3 days to get here.
Well, Sir Charles, maybe we just need competition. Now, Chinese look like they're coming right along, so if those of you who hope for space travel, maybe when we get competition, we'll get back in the space business.
And, of course, there are some other things that we can look at as well, and that's the new technologies that make it cheaper, and I'm going to touch on some of that tonight as well.
That's the whole thing. That's the big argument, of course, against it, is that it's just too expensive, and we have a lot of urgent things to do here on Earth, like spend hundreds of billions of dollars on Iraq.
Exactly. And we need to build a highway, basically. Imagine how difficult it would be to go across this country if we didn't have the interstate highway system.
How about an elevator?
Have you heard? Elevators, there are space elevators on the drawing board, and they've been around for ages. And they are a viable concept, and we are now developing materials that would make them a viable method to literally hoist something off the planet with a cable. And there are numerous designs that can do this. And I don't know if any of the listeners are familiar with such things as rotavators or skyhooks, but there are probably a half dozen really good designs that could be carried out given slight advances in our material technologies.
Well, I've had a couple of guys discussing nanotechnology who said that there is some technology in the nano world now that would apply to perhaps building a real space elevator.
Right, that's probably fullerene whiskers, which have a higher tensile strength than diamond. And if we could learn to bulk manufacture that and build cables out of it, a length of cable made out of fullerene whisker, which is a carbon product, would be able to support a 3,400 kilometer long length of itself before breaking.
Wow.
And that's the sort of stuff we need.
And that could add up to an elevator to space. That's such an incredible thought. And so then the price per pound to get stuff to space, once you've got that kind of technology, goes about where?
It could drop down to a few tens of dollars per pound at that rate.
Boy, would we be in business.